Hey y'all, so before we jump into this week's episode, I have to remind you that applications for the Purpose to Service Academy open up on October 12th. So if you're wondering, like, what is the Purpose to Service Academy? Well, it is my 12-month group coaching program where I teach coaches and online service providers how to create a solid foundation and simplify their business through creating and launching their signature service offer. So throughout this entire 12-month program, we walk you through our six-step framework, which covers everything from building your foundation to nurturing your audience to packaging up your genius into your service offer to creating your launch strategy, managing your clients, and also creating your ongoing marketing strategy. So literally everything that you need to build a sustainable, intentional, and also profitable coaching business online. So again, applications for the Purpose of Service Academy open up on October 12th, and right now you can get on the wait list. So for everyone who's on the wait list, you are going to get some super exclusive gems and also first access to applications. So to get on the wait list, all you have to do is head over to AliciaRobertson.com/waitlist and just sign up. And don't worry, I will leave the link to that in this week's show notes. Welcome to the Purpose to Service podcast, a weekly show for women entrepreneurs who are ready to package up their knowledge and build a thriving service-based business that fuels the life they desire. I'm your host, Alicia Robertson, and through this show, I share real-life advice, my proven strategies for building your personal brand and gaining more clients, and I chat with other incredible women who are not only crushing it in their industry, but also building their business with intention. Whether you're just getting started or a seasoned professional, every week we dig deep into how you can leverage what you know and make a bigger impact through your content, make more money, and build your coaching or service-based business on purpose. Let's dig in. Hi, you guys. Welcome back to the Purpose to Service podcast. So this week I am chatting with Ashley Gartland. So Ashley is a business mentor and coach that helps service-based business owners get out of overwhelm and create more sustainable, life-giving businesses by simplifying their services and freeing up their time. She is the host of the Better Than Big podcast, where she talks with small business owners about the strategies, shifts, and solutions that have helped them to create simple, streamlined businesses. Ashley runs her six-figure business in 25 hours a week, leaving her plenty of time to enjoy what's most important to her, including long trail runs and time with her family. Ashley, welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. I'm so happy to have you here.
I'm so excited for this conversation. Thank you for having me.
Yes, of course. I have been wanting to have you on the show, you know, for a while now. We've been talking about it. So I'm so happy that we were actually able to sit down and make it happen. But do you want to just go into what really started you on this journey of building a successful but simplified business? Like, what made you want to take that approach?
Yeah, so this is going to go way back. I actually kind of got the bug in college, and I had a professor in college who I went to journalism school. I should preface it with that. And I had a professor who had this kind of lifestyle, who taught and who was a marketing professional for a restaurant in town, and who was a freelance writer and an editor. She did all these things, but she also had all this space to do what she wanted. And I looked at that and I was like, that's really interesting. I wonder if I could design something like that too. And when push came to shove and I had to go out and start, you know, applying for jobs in the journalism field, I found that they weren't in the locations that I wanted. They were going to be really random hours. I wasn't going to be able to prioritize what was most important to me, you know, my relationships, my health. And I could kind of see the writing on the wall down the, you know, in the future, if I wanted to become a mother, it just wasn't making sense to me. And so I decided to kind of give the freelance thing a try. And I ended up being really successful as a freelance writer and building my business. And then at some point I pivoted into coaching. I kind of felt like I checked all the boxes with writing and editing and writing books. And I felt like I wanted to do something different, but I wanted to hold on to that autonomy and choice and flexibility that I had. Mm-hmm. So I knew I still wanted to be a business owner and pivoted into coaching. And it became really clear early on that this was the thing I wanted to help people do, was design this business that allowed them that freedom, flexibility, autonomy, choice. And now I can see kind of the thread. Like if you had asked me when I was a freelance writer, like what I did, I wouldn't have thought about the life-giving business and all that stuff. But I can see now that there's this big connection between the two, which is always like, how do we create a business that becomes the vehicle for the things that matter most to you?
Yeah, I love that. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on this show, is because I love talking to other entrepreneurs who really have that intention around how they're doing business and also how they're teaching others to do business. I feel like, you know, in this world, it can be all hustle, 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 go, 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 go. But I love that you have also like prioritized that I can run this really successful business while also, you know, prioritizing the things that matter to me. And it's going back to that goal of building a business around the life, or building a business around the life you desire, and not the other way around, which I think a lot of people really get kind of mixed up in often.
Mm-hmm. And I will say too, that I didn't have the confidence right out of the gate with either business to believe that like, this is possible. Cause like you said, around me, I was seeing a lot of people working a lot more, wearing a lot more hats, doing many more things. And so for me, it wasn't like I jumped right in. I was like, this is absolutely 100% possible for me to build a business that makes it possible for me to spend time with my daughters and go on long trail runs and have a lot of choice during my days. But I wanted to at least be curious about it. And that's where I started. And that's where I really encourage people like to ask those what if questions. What if I designed a business where I work 25 hours a week? What if I designed a business that allowed me to do X, Y, and Z? And from there, we can start making small shifts and making it happen for you. But I don't want anyone listening to feel like if they don't totally believe it yet, it's still okay. Like you can still take the baby steps.
Yeah. Yeah. Same. It took me a long time to get to this point where it's like, you can slow down and still do, you know, very well at what you're doing. Cause I was caught up in that too. It's like, I have to be on go mode all the time, but that isn't always true. And some people do enjoy that type of, you know, of working kind of atmosphere, but it doesn't have to be like the only way.
Mm-hmm. And if it works for you, I'm always like, if that works for you, great. Yeah. But if you're like, I am really missing out on my family time, I am not taking care of myself and it's bothering you, like, then you can make adjustments.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So you say you only work 25 hours a week. And I think I speak for myself and everyone who is listening to this. How? Yeah. Like, how do you do that while also feeling like you are getting good, solid work done in your business?
Yeah. So I think like the 25 hours a week is an average. So I want to be really upfront about that. Some weeks are 30. The last week of the month, I usually work a lot less. I don't do client calls the last week of the month. So if I do work, it's for stuff in my own business or like conversations like this. Mm-hmm. So the average is 25 hours a week. Sometimes with those client call weeks, I'll work 30. And then this last week of the month, I went work 15. Mm-hmm. But the way that I do that is, I think first, for me, it's not like, how do I prioritize a task? The first question I was asking is like, how can I design a business that requires fewer tasks of me? Mm-hmm. Because I had to take that step back, because if I just went into it, I was like, I'm going to run a service-based business, I'm going to run a coaching practice, and I want it to be full and abundant, like I might've put a lot more things in the basket, a lot more things on my plate to pursue. Yeah. And so instead I asked like, well, how do I design a business that requires fewer tasks? And I think the two biggest areas that are good examples here are my services and like my marketing activities. So with my services, I, you know, dabbled in having multiple revenue streams at one point, and it just felt like I was spread too thin and doing too many things, and delivering those and marketing those, like that was definitely bumping up my hours a lot because it required more preparation for me and just like a lot more stuff. So I have continued to ask myself, like, are these services essential? Do I want to do two instead of three? Do I want to do one instead of two? And that helps me a lot create that efficiency and ease behind the scenes within my client work. And you know, it's not hard to prioritize one service. Like it's very obvious what to focus on. So that's one area. And then with the marketing activities, like I knew right out of the gate, I wasn't going to be on every social media platform. I was not going to embrace every single marketing activity. When someone said, this is new and trendy and effective, I wasn't going to go, great, I'm jumping on and doing that too. Mm-hmm. I had to ask like, what's a match for my skill set? And also, what are some like really high impact marketing activities? So while I do use social media, I use it more as a, here's where we're repurposing content. And you know, if people want to check out and connect with me there, it's fine. But I really focus on things that are simple and fulfilling and enjoyable, and that can be repurposed to expand their reach or that will compound over time. So like, I love writing my newsletter. It takes me about an hour a week. I love it. I get responses from my audience that, you know, help me connect with them. and my team can repurpose my newsletter to social media and other things. And that's great. Podcast interviews are another good example. For like 4 years, I didn't feel like I could jump on board and do my own podcast. I didn't feel like I had the space and time and energy. And then eventually I did, and I launched Better Than Big. But before that, I was like, well, what's a way that I could do this marketing activity that's in a simpler way? And I started just doing tons of guest interviews like this. Mm-hmm. And what I learned through that is those guest interviews live on forever. So mm-hmm. you show up and do it, as I'm sure you know, and then they compound yeah. over time. And so you've got this piece of content that's out there working for you, kind of in the same way passive income, right? Like her products yeah. are like, it's out there working for you and you're not putting your lifetime into it. So hopefully those are some examples of kind of ways that I design the business so that I can work 25 hours a week.
Yeah. And I love that you mentioned a lot of things I want to touch on, but yes. I love that you mentioned that you were never really pressed to be on every single platform. That's a big thing I hear with like a lot of coaches and service providers is they feel like they have to be everywhere in order to make a very impactful reach. And I love that you said you really just focus on the platforms that you love and you then take that content and expand it to other places, but it's not necessarily, you're not trying to show up and be on every single platform out there, because I think that is the number one way to be burnt out. Very quickly.
Yeah. And the reason that I'm really clear that I don't need to do that is I have a really deep understanding of my business model. I do mm-hmm. high touch coaching packages. I do have one product, but I'm not trying to sell it to thousands of people. Like yeah. it's there and it exists, but like I need, 40 clients a year, 60 clients a year, somewhere in that range. I don't need to be in front of thousands of people. And so if mm-hmm. I know that podcast interviews, referrals, like repeat clients, those type of things is going to fill my capacity for clients perfectly, then I don't really need to go do all those other things unless I change my business model. So I think it's good to connect those dots for people, because it's not like, should you go do all these things? But it's like, should you do these things because they're a match for the work that you do?
Yeah. That's good. And you mentioned that you will have like your team repurpose some of that content over to social media. Do you have like full-time employees, part-time? Are they like contractors? Like who do you have that are kind of assisting you?
Yeah. So I've grown this really slowly over time. It started with just me. I think that my first hire was actually a designer, because I recognized that I really appreciate good design and I was taking forever to do it. So I hire a designer on a project-based business or basis and just say like, can you do this PDF for me? Or can you, help me with this one piece? But my first big hire was my OBM. And by big, I mean, I think I hired her for 5 hours a month in my business. And we've grown over time. And she actually manages my team. So she has her own team that works in my business. So, her podcast production guy does my podcast production. Her content writer repurposes my stuff. So that's amazing. Like I couldn't think of a better scenario. It allows me to just have one touch point and everything gets done. But what they do mostly for me is with the content creation you're asking about, like mm-hmm. I will write the big long form piece of content and they will repurpose it. Now I used to do all of that. Like there was a couple of years in between where I would do the repurposing and I had to really build that trust muscle in mm-hmm. passing things off and believing that they could adapt things and it would still sound like me in order to do it. And because they're just really taking things and chunking them down, it really does feel like it's still me writing the stuff.
Yeah. I think that's been the hardest part for me with this whole process of how can I make my own business more simple and implement more ease, is like giving up that trust.
And control, like, right? I guess control is probably the better word.
Oh yeah. Yes. Control. Cause like I started handing over like my podcast and I felt like I needed to be involved in every step of the process. And it's like, no, like you are trusting this person to do their job well. Like it's okay to like hand off this small task compared to all the other ones I probably have going on.
Mm-hmm. It is. And I think, like I said before, I'm a baby stepper and I know that about myself and my team knows that about me. So they will nudge me and kind of be like, we could do this thing for you. And here's how it might look. And then I have to sit with it for a little bit of time. Yeah. And for me, it's really helpful to say, well, if they took that on, what would that be freeing up for me? And what would I do with that time? So I have a deep understanding either of what I'm giving up if I keep holding on to that task mm-hmm. or what I'm making possible if I'm willing to, exercise a little less control and pass it on.
Yeah. So how do you, I guess, manage busier seasons of your business? If you have busier seasons, like how do you manage that and also stay within your own boundaries that you've kind of set for within yourself and like for your business? Like, how do you manage those you know, more go type of seasons while also not crossing those boundaries.
Yeah. You had said this question in advance and I sat with him and I was like, when was the last time that I really felt like I had a really busy season? And it was last year during the, like in the middle of the pandemic, and I had filled my capacity for my one-on-one and I had filled my capacity for my coaching intensives. And I still had some people wanting to work together. And so I threw a wrench in my very simple business and decided to launch a third thing, which was coaching via Boxer, just doing that only, and ended up really quickly filling that. And so I had way too many clients to manage at that time in doing and in too many different types of work and communication styles. And so that season to me, that was really busy. And I was like, I'm never doing that again. So now every time I have this itch to, you know, let's throw something else in, I think about that. And I'm like, we're not going there again. We're going to stick with the simplicity because that works. So I think like the lesson there for me and probably to pass on is that the busy seasons of my business most often come when I'm chasing some bright, shiny object, or maybe trying to fix a problem in my business that it, like that wasn't actually a problem. I could have just done a wait list, like it would have been fine. Mm-hmm. And when I go outside of what I know my boundary is for capacity and, you know, my energetic capacity and my time too. Mm-hmm. So I think that's something that I just, you know, keep really top of mind now. And then I will say like, if I do enter a season of like, that feels a little busier in terms of like what I'm doing in my own business, it's from a place of choice. You know, if I'm trying to improve something, or if I'm making a pivot that's maybe a little annoying in the moment, but I know it's going to have big payoffs down the road, I might choose to work a little bit more or choose to do a little bit more to make that happen. Mm-hmm. More often though, I will extend the timeline so I can make the change, make the pivot, but recognize that I've given myself this really nice long runway to make it so that I don't have to necessarily work more to execute on it.
Hey y'all, so I don't mean to break up this amazing conversation, but I have to ask, have you downloaded my free guide yet? Well, if you haven't, the Purpose to Service Method is the free guide that you need to download right now. Because in this guide, I walk you through my 6-step framework for building a sustainable, intentional, and profitable coaching-based business. So I walk you through all of my essential steps of building your foundation, creating your signature framework, nurturing your clients, packaging up your knowledge, launching your offer, and then also managing and maintaining your clients afterwards. So I give you all types of action steps that you can implement into your business right now. And I also cover how to avoid a lot of the common mistakes that I see happen to a lot of coaches and online service providers as they are growing and scaling their business. So if you haven't already, download the Purpose to Service Method. Again, it is going to walk you through the essentials of building a sustainable, intentional, and profitable coaching business. So all you have to do is head over to aleisharobertson.com/roadmap, or just click the link down in my bio and you can get all access to it right now. All right, get back to the conversation.
Good. I think one of the big things that I often kind of run into, and what I see some of my clients run into as well, is like you said, that big shiny object syndrome. And then we all of a sudden feel like we have to implement everything like right then. And it's like, no, you can space it out. You can time it out to where maybe you are still doing that, you know, new shiny thing, but it's not so much to where you feel like you have to do everything in this moment. And I think that especially a lot of like newer coaches and like service providers I see that happen to is like, I want this new thing right now, but it's like, it's okay. You can pace yourself, time it out perfectly so that you are not only, you know, still serving the clients that you have well, but you're also not crossing those personal boundaries too.
Yeah. I am someone, like I said, I'm a baby stepper, right? And I like will drag my feet and I will overthink and research stuff, and that ability to do that, you know, or, you know, the downside of that, there's a lot of downsides, but the upside is that I will take my time thinking through changes and I will take them and move slowly, which means I don't often feel overwhelmed by them. And so I tend to actually attract a lot of people who are, you know, quick start personalities who do like have an idea at 9 a.m. and want to execute it by noon. And working with me, they're able to like present the idea and I'm like, great, great idea. What's a way we can test this out? Great idea, but you don't have to do it by the end of the day today, because that will like that energy will burn you out. So what if we looked at how do we do it this month and kind of expanding those timelines with them? And that can really help them prevent that overwhelm too.
Yeah. That just made me think of something I really wanted to talk to you about. And it's the idea of growing slow. I think when people hear slow, they think of it as, oh, this is a negative thing, but one of the things I've been really trying to like explain to my audience and my clients is that slow growth doesn't necessarily mean less profitable or less impact or less influence or, you know, whatever it is that your goal is. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to give up those goals. So could you talk to us a little bit about how you have embraced that slow growth while also setting and like maintaining goals that you have in your business?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that comes up for me is making sure that your goals are your goals, not someone else's goals. And it's so easy, like right when you get started. Like I remember getting started as a coach and going to coach training and they're like, you can have a six-figure business in 6 months and a million-dollar business in 2 years. And I definitely like drank the Kool-Aid and I came home and I was like, well, this is amazing. Listen to what these people are doing. But what that required wasn't the right fit for me. Like at the time I had like a three-year-old and a like under 1 year old, like something like that, like very little kids. And I still like, I was like, I still want the business to serve my life. So I really had to get clear on the growth path for me, which has looked like slower and steadier growth than some of my peers in the industry. But what's made that feel good to me are two things. One, I'm really clear on what I need. I know what revenue I need. I know what enough looks like. I know what capacity is for me. And also I know that if I extend beyond that, I'm sacrificing some of the things that I really want in my life. So maybe I could have had the million-dollar business in 3 years, but instead I had part-time working hours so I could be with my kids before they started school. And I, you know, was able to take care of my health during that time. And I had a sustainable, successful business that maybe just wasn't growing fast. And so I think I just had to really like my reasons for it. And there's definitely a lot of doubts and judgments I had to work through to get there. But there's a big push for slow growth right now because it is sustainable and you get to build a business that serves your life and a business that like is strong, not built on like a house of cards.
Oh my goodness. You are speaking my language.
I know. We have such similar values. I know.
Yeah. No, I love that so much. And it can be hard because like you said, we see online and we see social media and everyone's like, you know, scale, like fast. And like one, like that's great if that's like your goals and that like fits into your life, but that's not the only right way to build a great business. So thank you so much for like explaining that to me, because I feel like a lot of people, whether they're getting started or whether even they've been in business for a long time now, they kind of get caught up in, well, why isn't, you know, my business growing as fast as so-and-so's, or why am I not getting these opportunities? But like you said, I think it's really important to just be very clear on, okay, what do you want? Like, what does enough look like for you? What does like your goal number look like for you? And I think that's the only time I tell people to like stay in your lane.
Yeah. And it is, like you said, it's really hard. I think about this client I have who runs a bookkeeping and accounting and like CFO agency. And when we first got started, she was like, I just want to make like $3,000 or $4,000 a month from this. I've got little kids at home. I'm just getting started. I want like 3 or 4 clients. She goes, I know I have a $1 million business here and I will get there. But if it takes me 10 years, I'm okay with that because it's going to be a slow and steady build. And it's been amazing watching her these last couple of years because she did, like she hit the $10,000 months. She's now hitting $25,000 months. Like she has the business, but the slow and sustainable pace that she's gotten there has allowed her to build a team at the same time and build great systems at the same time and some fire services and spend time with her kids and take vacations and do the fun things in life.
Yeah. You can have both. I think that's another thing too. People think is like, oh, I can't have both. Like I can't spend time with my family and also grow this business, or I can't, you know, travel like I want to and still grow this business, but you can have both. And that's why we're here telling you this now, is so that you can learn how to build a solid business again around whatever it is that you're desiring in your life. So
yeah, you can have both. What's that quote like? But maybe not both at the exact same time, or like not like both eventually, right? And so I never want to tamper people's ambition. I think it's great to have the ambitious goals and know that it's your goal again and work towards that. But like I always say, like let's not rush the process. Let's do it in a pace that works for you.
Yeah, and there's so much you can learn too in that building kind of slower times. I feel like there is so much that we learn about ourselves, learn about our business. You know, had I not taken a slower approach, I would have probably been serving a client or a type of client that I wasn't even really excited about. But I would have never known that unless I would have slowed down and given my time, you know, given myself time to like really figure that out. So There's a lot of good things that do come out of, you know, embracing, I'm gonna just go at it at, you know, at my own pace.
Yeah. The slowing down, what you just said, just makes me think of like, it creates awareness, right? Yeah. Like, and you really can notice the the trends and see what you really want versus when you're moving at such a rapid pace and doing what everyone is telling you to do, even if it's not your goal, like you can miss those things.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So let's say there's someone listening to this podcast right now who I know they will be, and they're asking themselves, I want to do less. Like, I want to tear everything down, or I want to restructure. What steps would you take someone through to begin doing less in their business while also building a solid, sustainable business?
Yeah. So I really look at it kind of from two fronts. There's the front of like what's going on with the business structure, you know, the business model, the services, those types of thing. And then also what's going on with like the inner work, what's going on in the business owner's head. So for me, like you said at the very beginning of this conversation, like I do a lot of work with people around their business model and service design, because I find that that's a great opportunity where people maybe don't see they can do less, but they really have a great opportunity to do that there. Like maybe letting go of a service that's just not serving them. Like it's not bringing in that much revenue. It would allow them, letting it go would allow them to double down on what is working. It might be that they want to combine some of their different offers into a signature offer and find more ease in that. Or it may be that they want to look within their services and, you know, say, okay, what do people actually want from you? And do they really need 12 different things? Or could you just offer a couple different features within your services? Like so many things, levers to pull and things to explore there. So that's one piece. The other piece is like really looking at how you're showing up in your business, how you're operating in your business. And we all have these like ingrained habits and these beliefs that really hold us back. And this, I created this whole course this year around it called Do Less, Live More, because what I found is like, I could teach people time management techniques and I could teach them how to set up an ideal schedule and we could fix their services. But if they didn't also change the way they were showing up, those things weren't sticking. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times with my work with clients, we're talking about things like their like perfectionism, right? Their belief that they have to get an A plus on everything. And that's causing them to put way more time and energy into business than necessary. Or this was one that was for me, like I had this real need to over plan and over prepare for everything. So I would go on a podcast like this and I would plan and prepare for it for like 10 hours. But that's not totally necessary, right? Like hard to run a 25-hour week business if you're planning for 10 hours for that thing. So, you know, I've got 15 different lessons in the course and all of them are around something like that, where if you look at what beliefs you have and how it's impacting how you show up in your business and you start to tweak those, you can really scale back on your hours and activities in your business without negatively impacting it.
Oh, the perfectionism piece, that has been a very hard one to get over for me.
Me too.
Very hard.
Yeah. And it's about like reframing, right? Like I would say 99% of my clients are perfectionists, and it's about helping them see like where they want to be a perfectionist in their business and where it's okay not to be. So like for me, like I'm still a perfectionist with my writing and my client work. Like those are extremely important to me. Mm-hmm. And also there might be some pieces where I don't need to be as much of a perfectionist, you know, maybe it's in the social media posts or, you know, something like that where I can do more of the B-level work. And so it's helping them see like, you might need to be like, I have a designer who's like, yes, your design work that you're doing with clients, you're going to try and excel. You're going to be a perfectionist there. But some of the other stuff in your business, maybe you don't need to do as much there.
Mm-hmm. You know, one thing I take everything to therapy. One thing my therapist told me, she was like, it's okay to want to be great at what you do. But she was like, you have to remember that a 90% is still an A. And I was like, oh, okay. She was like, you don't have to like reach for 100% every single time and everything that you do. And since we've been like talking through that, it's made like things a lot easier. It's like, I can still be great while not trying to like excel to this crazy level of like perfection in everything that I do.
I love that takeaway. Mm-hmm. It's like, if you can go for the A+, but you can also ask yourself, what would a B get the job done here?
Yeah. Yeah. Like it's still good work. And like, even if a B feels average to me, to someone else, that still may be like very excellent work. So.
And impactful, right? Like even like your C-level work might be like your client or whoever's reading your piece of content or listening to your podcast might go, that blew my mind. Exactly. Versus you might be like, that needed to be better. So interesting.
Exactly. Exactly. Like perception is everything, but everyone listening knows I take everything to therapy. So that's been very important for me. Did you have any other steps or anything else anyone could begin to implement to just really start simplifying how they're doing their business?
Yeah, so we talked about the structure. We talked about like doing some of the inner work. I think the other thing is I'm always looking at time. For whatever reason, I have an obsession with time and helping people make the most of it and create more space. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times I will have my clients, you know, write down all the ways that they're spending their time in their business and get brutally honest about what's essential and what's not. And the what's not feels a little bit like they're a little skeptical about it, right? Like it's a little bit of a gray area. And so that with that, we just want to experiment. We want to say, okay, if you let this thing go, or if you paused on this thing for a month, let's see if it impacts the business or if you could just let it go. I did that recently with closing my Facebook group. It was like, it hasn't really felt great for me. I stopped doing the live stream. I stopped, you know, I closed the group over time and realized it hasn't changed my business at all. Yes. So like that was something I was doing that I didn't need to do anymore and create more time and space and do less and focus more on what's working. So everybody has those opportunities. And sometimes you just need to sit down and brain dump all the things you do, which may take pages, right?
Yeah.
For a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And then ask what's actually driving results, what's related to my goals and what are the shoulds, what are the things that aren't actually working. And then you slowly begin the process of letting those things go.
Yeah. And I love that because I think one of the hard things for people who have taken on a lot and are now trying to like simplify, it's really hard to let some of those things go. And like, you don't always want to be honest with yourself that this thing is not necessary, you know, in this particular season. So I love that you have to make seeing what you're doing and then kind of assessing if it's working, if it's not working, but also making the hard decision of just letting it go or passing it on or putting it on the, you know, maybe a few months from now list. Like those are like the business conversations or the decisions that not many people I feel like are talking about.
And like how we make them, right? Like sometimes for me, it's energetic. Like with the Facebook group, like I kind of knew it wasn't driving results. I didn't get a lot of clients coming to the Facebook group, but it was also like, I don't get excited about this, but I get really excited to write my newsletter. I get really excited to do guest podcast interviews and I get really excited to do my own podcast. So if I'm going to choose from those, I'm going to choose the thing that's energetic and enjoyable for me.
Yeah.
But I think you can also look at the data, right? Like I always ask my clients where they found me. Not one ever said, I found you through your Facebook group, but everyone said, I found you through your podcast or another podcast. So I'm like, okay, like the writing's on the wall. And a lot of times people have that information. They're just forgetting to check in with it as they make decisions.
Yeah. Yeah. I take my clients through a process with like tracking their time and what they're doing, but it's almost like the opposite. So like a lot of the people that I work with are still working 9 to 5. They are still like, they have families, they have other obligations. So we take them through kind of this process of like, okay, let's see what you're doing. But in a sense of where does your business now fit into this? Like, you know, if you feel like you don't have enough time or you feel like you're already being stretched thin, okay, like how do you take this business that you're passionate about and fit that into what you feel is already like a busy lifestyle without feeling like you also have to hit burnout with including that? So
yeah, a lot of moving pieces.
A lot. Yes. Well, Ashley, I have loved chatting with you today. I have one more question that I wanted to ask you, and I ask everyone here on the show. That is, what does living on purpose mean to you?
Oh, gosh, it's such a good question, right? And I could probably talk for hours on it. I think for me, really living on purpose means showing up with intention in all the things that I do. Mm-hmm. And so showing up and running a business that provides me with really purposeful and fulfilling work and also enjoying the flexible lifestyle that allows me to give time to what's most important to me, you know, my family, my health, my community outside of work. And that to me, like when I wake up in the morning and that's what life looks like, that does feel like living on purpose. It feels very intentionally designed.
Yes. I love that so much. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming to the show. Do you want to just let everyone know where they can find you and connect with you online and learn a little bit more about what it is that you do?
Yeah. So since you're listening to a podcast or watching the show, like probably the best thing to do is to go to Better Than Big. That's my podcast. And like you said, it's where I talk with people about how they are running businesses like this. I can give you lots of tips and ideas and spark ahas. And you and I have an episode on their own boundaries. Mm-hmm. That's a great place to start. So that's a good place to go. They can connect with me through my website at ashleygartland.com. And I am on Instagram at ashleygartland, even though I don't use it a ton. Like I am on there for direct messages and, you know, just to connect with people as well.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Ashley, for chatting with me today.
Yes. Thank you for having me. This is so fun.
Before you go, I'd love to know what your biggest takeaway was from this episode. Take a screenshot and share it with me over on Instagram at @TheAlishaNicole. Also, if you enjoyed this episode, please head over to your favorite podcast streaming app and rate the show and leave a review. The more great ratings and reviews we receive, the more incredible women we are able to impact with our message. And as always, thank you so much for listening to the Purpose to Service podcast.